Hey, I'm Mike.
Hey, I'm Ethan.
I watched the first half of Nanny McPhee and the Big Bang.
I watched the second half of Nanny McPhee Returns.
Oh, and this is the other half. Maze Days!
Oh, you think this is two different movies and we combine them together? No, they're the same movie.
No. It's the same movie with different titles across the pond.
Across the pond. They love the Big Bang over there, but in America, we don't believe that shit.
We don't know what the Big Bang is.
We don't believe in it.
I don't know why it's called, by the way, Nanny McPhee and the Big Bang. That is not
there's
a
Big Bang at the end.
Oh, is that what it is? Is that all it is?
Yeah.
Do you know what the background of the making of this movie is at all, by the way?
This movie? No, not in particularly. I know about Nanny McPhee, the first one.
Nanny McPhee in the first one. Because I've seen that one on a plane once. That's about all I know.
That's about as much as you're going to get on me. I pretty much watched when I was a kid when it came out.
As a kid. This movie is written by Emma Thompson.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Or co-written. I think it's her and one other person. It's based off, an established book series. But she was such a big fan and enamored by it. She's like, I'm going to adapt it myself. It's similar to what was that one movie, Last Christmas?
Yes,
where she also wrote that as well and adapted it from a Wham song. That's about all I know about Nanny McPhee. This was apparently everyone was just clamoring for that sequel. Do you remember anything about the original Nanny McPhee?
Not a damn thing.
I remember that she comes around. She's basically like Mary Poppins, but she's ugly.
Yeah, that's basically it.
That's pretty much it.
She kind of, yeah, honestly, just another Mary Poppins. Like, but I don't really know too much different with her.
Whereas Mary Poppins is, like, cute and incorrigible. I don't know if I'm using that word right.
It's fine.
She,
I get what you mean.
Is, like, abusive.
Nanny McPhee?
Yeah,
she's mean.
She's mean. She's cruel to these children.
She's ugly, too.
But not for long.
Not for long?
Yeah, she gets pretty at the end of the movie.
How do you know that?
Because I saw the first one.
Oh, yeah, yeah. She's like, by the way, I'm hot, dude.
I'm actually hot.
Yeah, I was surprised by that.
You were?
I was like, oh, shit.
That came out of nowhere. Hot, you didn't see all the little bits of her disappearing throughout your half of the movie when she does magic or whatever?
No, I didn't, actually.
Really?
I didn't realize that.
Well,
no.
Did you know that, I'm sure you were a Daniel Mays in this movie, but did you see that there was actually another person that was from the last movie?
I did. It was the same dad from Mr. Nobody. Yes. Is Uncle Fucker or whatever his name
is. Uncle Fucker. That's right. I love Uncle Fucker in this movie.
Yeah.
There's a lot of weird ass fucking names, right? So there's Vincent, Norman, and Megzy are the three poor children.
Mm-hmm.
There's Celia and Cyril, who are the two rich children.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's the mom, who is Isabel. Mm-hmm. Played by Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And like, not like I don't know if it was obvious in your half of the movie. Clearly ADRing most of her dialogue.
I didn't really realize that, but you're probably right.
Oh my god! Like, it felt to me like she was just.
This movie feels like it was produced in a
like a weekend.
Yeah, but it's weird because they use a lot of special effects, and they don't look all terrible. But it just like all the editing and everything just kind of feels like sloppy.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a very sloppily put together film as far as like. On the set.
Yeah.
I feel like there might have been a lot of fun going on.
Yeah, it seems
scenes.
Like a fun, like everyone seems to be having a good time, but it's
kids are having a blast.
But the movie itself just seems poor.
Little boys, what's his name? Aza Butterfield or
yeah,
whatever the
little,
fuck?
Little Ender Game.
Ender Game, that's right. I don't recognize any of the other kids in this movie.
I don't either. I looked them up, I didn't know any of them.
That's all about all I know about. But you were jazzed to talk about this movie, Ethan.
I was jazzed to talk about this movie because it was not Mr. Nobody.
Mr. Nobody and Danny
also,
McPhee.
Also, I never
Dream
saw.
Dream blunt rotation.
I read a blunt rotation. I never saw Mr. Mays in my half.
Oh, I knew this was going to happen at some point.
He was never in my half. Yeah, I was waiting for him.
Well, I got all Mr. Mays, all of two scenes.
Yeah, this is definitely the most bit part.
What character do you think he plays?
I bet he's like an authority figure.
Kind of.
Okay.
Kind of.
Authority figure. Maybe like
a cop, you're thinking?
Yeah, I was thinking
like
cop.
Just like in the Thursday Murder Club?
Yeah, I was thinking that.
It is kind of funny, actually. So this is our third movie. First movie, he plays a cop.
Uh-huh.
Second movie, he plays a journalist. So he's always like his work or his position in the story is based around the job that he has, right? Mm-hmm. He's not like a guy.
Yeah.
Right? Like when you think about like Thursday Murder Club, most of the characters are just like retirees or people who know them.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have like the two police officers and one of them is Daniel Mays.
Yeah.
Right. And then in the last movie we saw, it was like our main character, a bunch of women that he has to choose from, and then Daniel Mays is a journalist.
Yeah.
Now, in this movie, he's a driver.
He just drives? Does he listen to people? He listens to people talk?
No. He's a butler slash driver for the two brats.
Oh,
for Celia and Cyril. So he drops them off, and then at one point he comes back again. But again, he's just a job. But Daniel Mays, he infuses that role with so much personality and so much, you know, because I really honed in. And I was watching because I was also like, I'm sure he's going to come into play in the second half of the movie, right? It must be very important.
No, they never go back to that old rich place. They're always on the farm.
The other thing about this movie is not only is it like really sloppily directed and edited, very sloppily written, I feel, as well.
Yeah, it's all over the place.
I know it's based on, I think it's based on a book series. It's just like, I'm like, if it's based off something that is pre-existing, why are we making such obvious, like, mistakes in, like, storytelling here? You know what I mean?
Very kids movie logic.
Oh, it's very kids movie. Kids movie logic. Kids are not aware of these little plot holes.
Yeah, they're just here for a good time. Honestly, it's kind of a good time. I think everyone has a good, I think the thing is everyone's having a, at least it feels like everyone's having a good time on set.
Yeah.
So it's
kind of
fun.
These kids look like they're having fun.
Yeah, but it's pretty bad.
Do you want me to tell you a bit about how the movie opens?
Absolutely.
Narration. It's Isabel. Maggie Gyllenhaal. She says that she is a woman looking after her three children while her husband is off at the war, because this is during the Blitz.
Yeah.
So also Narnia is happening.
Yeah. It's somewhere else in the back.
She's losing her mind. I wrote down Maggie Gyllenhaal is awful in this movie.
She is so goofy.
Her kids and her are shouting at each other. Wrote down lots of ADR, probably because of her accent.
Yeah.
Also wrote down the little boy.
She has to do a British accent.
Everyone's doing a British accent. Better than Mr. Nobody. The littlest boy, Vincent, is unintelligible. I had to use captions in order to understand what he was saying.
Vincent is the real blonde one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The littlest kid.
He felt like a little gremlin that just kind of like lives there. You know, he's like that third kid. You're just like, yeah, whatever happens, it happens to him.
This feels like a producer's child where it's like, I want him to be in movies.
Yeah.
And it's like, he can't act.
Can't act.
But let's put him in.
You know,
there
I've looked at his IMDb. Same photo.
He hasn't done
movie.
Anything. Yep. Well, there you go. Manny McPhee's been in more movies than this kid. Dad wrote 3 months ago, and the mom, Isabel, is like, well, he's moving because he's at war, so we can't write that often. But I'm like, that motherfucker dead.
Motherfucker dead.
Do you know who plays the dad?
I do. It was probably the most shocking dad reveal since Bob Odenkirk.
100% agree. Because we see him in my, which is so funny because we show him in my half of the movie and I'm like, he's
sad. I thought they were going to show him only in my half. Like,
they show him twice in my half of the movie, once in photos, and I'm like, oh, is this supposed to be like a hint? Because I know who that is. And then we see like a flashback to Maggie Gyllenhaal's wedding with the guy, and I'm like, guys, I know that's Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah. It's Ewan McGregor.
It's Ewan fucking McGregor. We know who he is. Ewan fucking Moulin Rouge. McGregor.
Yeah.
Wait, I know him.
Mm-hmm.
Ewan Big Fish McGregor.
I never seen that movie.
It's a good movie.
Yeah.
So anyway, cousins are visiting because of the Blitz, and they're rich and they live in town and they live in the country. It's safer in the country than in town. So they have to get dropped off. And that's why they're there.
Ain't no one's going to bomb the country.
No one's going to bomb these random country folk. Then we get to Mays. I wrote down, he plays a driver slash butler for the two cousins.
So early.
Yes. Early. He's like one of the first characters we see. I wrote down, these kids are awful brats. I wrote down, he is afraid of the power of these two brats that they wield over him. And he has to do his best to keep them in line without upsetting them.
He does seem like a guy who would get pushed over pretty easily.
Yeah. Which is, yet again, so what? Okay, so in the first movie we saw him in, he was a cop that was bad at his job, but he was relatively intimidating.
But he was getting pushed around by old people.
That's right. He was afraid of old people.
And then the last movie, Mr. Nobody.
He's being pushed around by another old... Oh, my God. I didn't even fucking pick up on the fact, because Jared Leto's wearing fake old people makeup.
Yeah.
That we've seen 2 weeks in a row where he's mostly hanging out with old people.
And he's doing the audiobook of Harry Potter where he's Dobby. He gets pushed around the most there. Dobby free.
Yeah, me and Ethan discovered this way too late.
I mean, it's in the episode.
Oh, wasn't in the episode? Yeah. You edited it in? Okay, well, fine. We apologize. We didn't know. But yeah. So he's always getting pushed around by people. It seems as if he's very good at playing sort of the easily manipulated, you know, terrified
goofball.
We meet Celia and Cyril. Cyril's the boy, Celia's the girl. Mm-hmm. At the farm that they'll be staying at, I just wrote down, it is covered in mud and literal shit. Mm-hmm. We meet Vincent, the youngest one, Norman, the boy, and Megsy, the girl. They have a scratch-o-matic that their dad made to make pigs happy. Does this come into play later at all? No?
Okay. Not at all. A bird, I didn't even know there were like a crazy mechanical stuff like that.
A bird burps at Isabel. Mm-hmm. I'm like, what is this shit?
That's the thing, is watch this movie, I'm like, this is American humor. What are you doing here?
Why is a bird burping?
There's so much fart, poop, and like...
This is,
like,
I think,
what are we doing here?
This is the proclivity of Emma Thompson, I think. Because this was also in, like, Last Christmas, remember? Like, they go to a... Oh my god. Like, okay. Remember in Last Christmas? I know you probably don't. But remember in Last Christmas, our main character, a woman, works at a store with an eccentric owner of the store.
We saw that in theaters, didn't we?
We did see that in theaters. This movie has exactly the same thing. Isabel, the mom, works in a store with an eccentric store owner.
Oh my god.
Same exact shit.
Huh. She's got a thing.
Yeah, she truly does. We meet Phil, who is the dad in Mr. Nobody. He is
Uncle
Isabel's
Phil.
Brother-in-law.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right. Or Uncle Fucker. I'm going to call him Uncle Fucker. Uncle Fucker. He's the brother-in-law. And he's trying to get her to sell the farm to him. Isabel's husband, Rory, is the owner of the farm. The rightful owner.
God, this is so funny because like I get everything in my second half. There's not a thing you can fill in that I don't know about. But continue.
No!
I'm just saying, like, this movie's so simple.
It is.
It's such a simple movie.
There is one character I don't see. Mrs. Big or Mrs. Biggles, who is the person that Uncle Fucker owes money to.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know who do you see this
it's
person?
It's her and, like, her friend?
No, that's this Miss Topsy and Miss Turvey.
Oh, my
God. They work for Mrs. Big.
I never see Mrs. Big.
That's such a shame.
Yeah.
I thought they were going to get some big-ass actor. Speaking of big-ass actor, we see Maggie Smith, who's playing Mrs. Dautry. She's Isabel's boss. Her mind is going. She's an old lady. And she's played by Maggie Smith from fucking, like, Harry Potter and shit.
I know. Old Maggie Smith.
Oh, man. A Harry Potter connection here with Maggie Smith and Daniel Mays.
I know.
Norman has a way to pay for the tractor. So here's the idea. They're going to lose the farm, but they need to buy a tractor in order to keep the farm open. Uh-huh. The only way to buy the tractor is to sell the pigs, and that's Norman's idea. And so Uncle Fucker is like, I gotta get rid of those fucking piglets so that they can't buy the tractor, so that they have to sell the farm, because then they won't be able to afford the farm.
Okay.
Okay? Does this, all this make sense so far?
Yeah, I'm
right, following. Because all this is already established in your afternoon.
Yeah.
Maze is in the car again. He's driving the children, and I wrote down, he can barely speak. He can barely look at these children out of respect and fear. He cannot make eye contact. Mm-hmm. He stands at attention, proper, not like the first movie we saw, Thursday Murder Club.
Yeah.
Where he's always got like a
hunched
weird paunch.
Over. Yeah.
Instead, in this one, he's proper and at attention and stands completely straight.
Stiff upper lip.
But because he stands so proper and still, when he does have to do big exaggerative movements, like when he slips in literal shit, it feels big and crazy. And then he says that he would have rather enlisted at the war rather than deal with these two awful brats.
I would love to get shot at instead of dealing with kids.
Yeah.
Cyril, I mean, honestly, maybe same.
Probably. These two kids are awful.
Yeah.
Cyril eats chocolate in front of his cousin. Celia doesn't want to get out of the car, so Maze has to pull her out, which feels like a bit much. I feel like this felt like Maze probably on the day was like, I don't want to do this. This doesn't feel like it's in my character. And then the director's like, it's in the fucking script. Just fucking do it. So he does it anyway.
Mm.
But it feels like it's out of character for Maze because he's terrified of these children, you see? And so Celia says that she would rather be bombed than be here.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Everyone would rather be in the Blitz or at war than be in this cabin, whatever. Cyril is chased by Norman and is dropping all of Celia's clothes in the mud, so everyone's just fucking angry at each other.
Okay.
Isabel is leaving for the day, and the old lady Maggie Smith puts away...
What's Maggie Smith's purpose here again?
She's the one who runs the store.
Oh, the store. Okay. She's a shop owner. Okay.
Shop owner. She put away the treacle? Treacle. T-R-E-A-C-L-E. Do you know what that is? Treacle? Don't Google it. I want you to... No, don't Google it!
I forgot what it was. I've heard the word before, but I don't know
what
it
you
is.
Forgot.
I don't. What do you know? Do you know what it is?
I didn't know what it was. That's why I wanted it. Now you're just looking at it. This is not fun.
That's some British shit. Some food.
It is. You're right.
Syrup made from sugary rind, similar to molasses.
So she's like, I put the molasses. I'm just gonna say molasses away. And Isabel's like, you put the molasses away, and then it starts to drip out of the drawers. And this is where I wrote down. I guess it's syrup.
Treacle is some of those British things where people love saying British stuff, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, if we're like,
have you ever had it before?
No, I don't think I have, but I think I've seen it before.
Yeah, I've seen it now.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, these voices start coming out of nowhere, out of the drawers and out of all the stuff in the shop. And they say, the person you need is Nanny McPhee. The person you need is Nanny McPhee. A bunch of random objects start saying this to Isabel. And she hears it on the wind. I wrote down, this feels like a horror movie. Like,
scary.
All this shit.
Scary.
And then Cyril, the shitty boy, takes out dad's jam, which is apparently some jam that the poor kids have been saving for their dad to, like, have when he gets back from war or whatever the fuck.
Uh-huh.
And Cyril is awful. And so he's just like, I'm going to open it. And he fucking opens it. And the kids all get angry. And he throws it at his sister. And his sister misses it and falls on the ground and breaks. And honestly, at this moment, I'm like, that kid needs to die. That kid's awful. That is their dad's jam.
Yeah.
So Norman's like, we need to murder Cyril, he says.
Yeah.
So they all start running around each other. And then Isabel arrives home and she's overwhelmed. The kids are screaming and shouting and chasing. And then suddenly there's a knock at the door.
Uh-oh.
She looks at the door and she sees a familiar silhouette in the window, big nose and, you know, like a little, it looks like Nanny McPhee.
Mm-hmm.
She opens the door. There's thunder and lightning. She opens the door. And no, it's actually Uncle Fucker. He's just making a silhouette that looks like Nanny McPhee.
That's funny.
And then she's like, get away. And she slams the door. And then she hears another knock. And she goes and she opens the door. And she's like, you got to get out of here, Uncle Fucker. I don't want you around here. I'm never going to sell the farm. And no, it's not Uncle Fucker. It's Nanny fucking McPhee.
Oh my god.
And she's at the door and she says,
I am Nanny McPhee, small c, big p.
Huh.
Which is a very funny thing to say. And I don't know if anyone making the movie realizes how funny that is.
I don't know either.
But small c, big p is very funny.
That is very funny.
Nanny McPhee's got a big old p.
Big old P with small C?
With a very small C. So anyway, that's Nanny McPhee's thing. She says that she's got a small C, big P.
Okay.
And she says, I've been deployed. I'm an army nanny, she says, so you don't have to pay me. And Isabel's like, I don't need or want a nanny. She says, I can do it all by myself. And then Nanny McPhee's like, I got this. And a bird sneaks under her dress. She opens doors and closes them without even touching them. And I'm like, don't let this woman in your house.
This lady's a witch.
Yeah, this woman is not to be trusted. And she goes to meet the children alone without any adults in the room.
Yeah.
They're fighting each other. And she's like, hello, can you give me your attention? And they don't stop fighting, of course. And she's like, please stop fighting and go to bed. And they just ignore her. And then she pulls out her walking stick, which I guess is magic. She slams it on the ground. Shimmering light comes out. And suddenly all the children stop fighting each other. And start beating themselves up.
Oh, I thought they start fighting Nanny McPhee. Like, take her awesome. Down. She's a witch.
Fuck her. No, they start beating themselves up. Except for little Vincent, who I wrote down, it's too young for him to hurt himself and for it to be funny. But all the other kids start just fucking hitting themselves in the fucking head and like pulling each other. They're pulling their own hair. And so Vincent just starts breaking stuff. And she says that she will only allow this to stop once they promise to stop fighting and if they apologize to each other. And they all refuse. And honestly, again, it's like, I'm like, Nanny McPhee, you can't be just like carpet bombing the situation. Like,
she's a war nanny.
It's like, this is like an Israel-Palestine situation. There are people that have come in and ruined the lives of people who were already here, you know, and making it worse for them. And they were the first aggressors. I don't know.
I will say Nanny McPhee, though, is not going to be like, this is my land now.
No, she's not Israel. She's the one that's like, look, we all got to get along.
Oh, gotcha.
And it's
gotcha.
Like, No. The poor family were perfectly fucking fine before you showed up, Nanny McPhee.
Yeah,
it's not their fault that they're acting like this. It's fucking Cyril and the other lady, the little girl's fault. Yeah. So anyway, so they refuse to stop fighting. And so I didn't mention this before, but we did mention this. The letters that their dad wrote that they've saved and collected. Vincent is about to knock them into the fire.
Yeah.
But you know, he's like, I can't stop. Like, I'm being controlled by Nanny McPhee. And so everyone apologizes. I don't know why Cyril apologizes, because he doesn't even fucking know these people, but he does anyway. So then the bird, Nanny McPhee stops them from fighting themselves, and the bird, Mr. Edelweiss is the name of the bird.
Sure, I'm calling Bird.
Saves the letters from being burnt. And Nanny McPhee is like, you meddlesome bird. And I'm like, no, the bird was doing a nice thing. And then all the objects that Vincent destroyed are now fixed. No harm done. Nanny McPhee stops the children from fighting, sends them upstairs to bed. The children quietly go upstairs and say goodnight to their mom / aunt. And Vincent thanks Nanny McPhee, and one of her moles disappears. And I'm like, this woman is a terror. Like, she literally abused these children using her magic.
No, they all beat themselves up. It's fine.
She caused them to do that.
Yeah, but if you're punching yourself, at least you're at your own level, you know?
Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm also just like, for Isabel, I'm like, okay, so this random woman comes in.
But that's not how Nanny McPhee works. There's a whole thing about her that we'll get to at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
And it's just, it explains all of her lore. Does it make it right? No. But you know.
It doesn't make it right. That's what I was waiting for. Nanny McPhee then goes upstairs. The children have begun to verbally resist her rather than physically fight her. And she says, when you need me.
There you go. This is the line.
Yeah, I know. I'm aware. I saw the fucking first one. She says, when you need me, but don't want me, I must stay. Uh-huh. But when you want me, but don't need me, I must go.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it is.
That's it, baby. That's her. That's the whole movie in a nutshell.
That to me sounds like an abusive person. and so the children say that they will.
You're kind of right. Now I'm thinking about
doesn't it though?
Like, if you have a normal relationship with anyone, it'd be like, damn, that's fucked up.
That is literally like, look, you say you don't need me right now, but you do. And then the minute you don't need me anymore, I'm going to fucking leave.
Oh, my God.
That is abusive.
Yeah.
And imagine Isabel, where it's like, she comes home. She's exhausted. Her children are all fighting. And then they're in a room with this strange woman. Come out of the room. They're perfectly fine. And then that woman goes like, I'm going to go upstairs unattended to your children's bedroom. And I'm going to take care of them.
Yeah.
That's fucked. Yeah. That is fucked. She does not bring any of this up. So children say that they will never agree to share spaces or beds. And they're all like, I'd rather sleep with the cow. I'd rather sleep with an elephant. I'd rather sleep with a goat. And so Nanny McPhee pulls her little stick out again. And then Isabel downstairs hears strange noises and sparks upstairs. But of course, she doesn't look into her children at all.
No, fuck them.
And she is also so fucking an observant, she doesn't notice a goat, a cow, and an elephant enter her house.
She is truly incompetent.
She is awful.
She's a terrible mom.
Terrible. Isabel asks Nanny how she manages. Nanny McPhee says that info is classified, which is, again, a fucking weird thing for a woman to say.
Yeah.
And she's like, I can't leave. The children need me. Again, I don't like that. Then Nanny McPhee's other mole disappears. She runs into Uncle Fucker, who's lurking around the middle of the night. And he goes and he steals the pigs. He digs a hole. I'm like, why not break into the barn? I don't know. He digs a hole somehow inside of the barn, and the pigs run out of the hole and run off.
Okay.
We see that Isabel was once married to Obi-Wan Kenobi from photos. Next morning, kids are all sharing beds. Originally last night they were sharing beds with the animals that came in, but now they're sharing beds just with each other. Cyril thinks that Nanny McPhee is a secret weapon during the war and that she gassed them. So during breakfast, he comes down with a gas mask. So he can't eat, but he also can't be controlled by Nanny McPhee. Celia is looking for something to wear, but she hates everything in the closet. So she comes downstairs wearing Isabel's wedding dress.
God, that's way too big for her.
Yes, it is. It's just on the ground. Exactly. The bird reveals that the pigs are missing to Nanny McPhee. The kids notice too. And so they're like, we have to go find the fucking pigs. And so they have to like run at the pigs and jump and run at them and fall at them. And Nanny McPhee's like, this is too easy. So then she's like, I'm going to make the pigs magical. So she puts stem cells in the pigs.
Oh, hell yeah. They can live forever now.
Yeah. No, the pigs now have the ability to run up trees and jump really high and far, practically fly, do spins. They do synchronized swimming in a pond. Like, what a shitty thing for Nanny McPhee to do.
Yeah.
These are poor children that are trying to fucking sell these pigs. Anyway, so Uncle Fucker comes across a farmer who's looking to buy pigs, played by Bill Bailey, the famous British actor from Black's Books, and you know him from Hot Fuzz. He's the guy that works behind the desk. He's the one that has the twin.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, he's that. Did you see him in your half of the movie at all?
No.
All right, fine. I didn't think so. He's going to turn around Because he's like, basically Uncle Fucker's like, hey, the pigs have escaped. There's no pigs for you to buy. Mm-hmm. And he's just like, oh, okay, well, I guess I'll go back home. And then Uncle Fucker's like, all right, I'm going to go to the farm. And he's like, well, I'll do you a good turn. I'll take you to the farm. Okay. And Uncle Fucker's like, I don't need to go to the farm. And he goes, come on. And he's like, all right, fine. So he takes him to the farm. The kids plan a way to capture all the pigs. And it works. They use the veil, the wedding veil, as like a net to bring the pigs back just in time to give them to the farmer. And Uncle Fucker has lost yet another opportunity to sell a farm. Damn. The farmer ends up buying all the pigs for even more money than originally intended because the kids say that the pigs can synchronize swim and run up trees and shit.
Yeah.
Isabel realizes that her wedding dress and veil are ruined, and Celia and Cyril seem to genuinely apologize for ruining it, but she's happy that they caught the pigs, and so she offers to go have a picnic with them and buy ginger beer. And then Nanny McPhee's unibrow disappears. Now, I know you're pulling up those notes, but don't worry, my man. We still have a whole other scene to go through.
Oh, no.
A car arrives. A car. Celia, driven by Daniel Mays.
Ah.
Daniel Mays arrives. And Celia originally thinks it's her mom in the car. But the car is empty. Daniel Mays, I wrote down, he's looking straight ahead. He tries to hide his lower class accent. His chin is up. He looks genuinely hurt that Celia's mom is not able to bring them back home and that Celia's mom and Celia's dad is not here for them. And he's only arriving to bring Celia's shoes that she wanted. I also wrote down that his character is a unibrow, which is interesting because that is something that Nanny McPhee has that just disappeared. And I wrote down, he doesn't want Celia to worry. He wants to do more for her, but he knows that he can't. He only makes eye contact with Celia to comfort her, that her parents are busy. They're just busy. They don't. It's not that they don't want to be with you. It's that they just can't be with you. Mm-hmm. But other than that, he can't stare at her. And it's an interesting thing. It reminded me of the last movie, too, where his character was unable to stare old man Nemo in the face. He could only look at his hands as they shake.
Hmm.
You know, Maze is making some interesting character choices.
Yeah.
And then Celia and Cyril are embarrassed, so they storm off.
Uh-huh.
Megzy brings shoes to Celia, and Megzy's like, hey, here's the shoes that he brought you.
Mm-hmm.
And Celia's like, I don't want them. You can take them, Megzy. And so Megzy's like, hey, I'll give you some of my best clothing. And the two of them are starting to like warm up to each other.
Oh, okay.
Isabel tries washing her muddy wedding gown and veil. And then she thinks about her wedding with Obi-Wan Kenobi. And she's so happy in sepia tone.
Yeah.
Then we cut to the picnic. Family's on a picnic. They play tag. The old lady played by Maggie Smith is like, I want to sit in this cow poop.
Yep.
And her husband's like, I think you shouldn't do that. And she's like, I want to do it.
Did you describe, this is the first time you've seen your husband?
Yeah, first time I've seen him, yeah.
He's a strange little guy.
He is a strange. He looks like a little goblin man or something.
He's a little guy. He's all about war. He's worried about the war coming here.
Yeah. Well, he's wearing that helmet of people that would go around during the war and go like, hey, turn those lights off or whatever.
He's
right.
One of those guys.
Yeah. At first I was like, that's not her husband because he's in a weird costume. If he was her husband, he'd be wearing normal clothes like she is and also would not allow her to sit in a cow pie.
No, but she's like, it seems comfy. And then she sits in it.
And then she's very happy. And they add a little like
fart sound.
Fart sounds like.
Yep, and I saw that, and I'm like, what am I doing? What is this movie? What is Nanny McPhee doing?
Nanny McPhee too, baby. Nanny McPhee, that was the big bang.
That was the big bang, yeah. The Nanny McPhee is there. She's upset and chastising the bird because it eats all the window putty out of her windows, so then the windows fall out, so she hates that bird.
Oh.
And the bird keeps burping because it ate all the window putty.
That's why the bird is burping.
He ate all the window putty.
I was wondering why that bird was burping. I was hoping that it would be explained.
Wow, what a detailed character.
Yeah, Mr. Edelweiss is an.
They ask
bird.
What are all the badges are on the Nanny McPhee. She says, I have one for courage, kindness, resolve, imagination, enthusiasm, basket work, and leaps of faith.
I don't think I've ever seen Nanny McPhee with...
medals?
Medals.
Maybe she just got them out because the other guy had a medal. Well, she's a wartime person, remember? She's a war...
Yeah, I thought that was a lie, though.
Yeah, you're right. They eat sandwiches. The warden guy...
Did it look good?
I don't know. I didn't see them. They just were like, they're there. Wear protective headgear, they say, because they're out in the middle of nowhere. We're going to get bombed, maybe. And he's like, no. Maggie Smith's like, not Maggie Smith. Maggie Gyllenhaal's like, no, that's not going to happen. Too many Maggies.
Isabel,
whatever. I don't know her name because they all call her mom.
Oh, mom.
Is like, but then the Maggie Smith's husband's like, no. Where we could get bombed because, you know, there's no time off when you're in war. So there could be an enemy flyer flying over us. And maybe he sneezes and he hits his nose on a red button and he drops the bomb and it blows up and we get bombed. And they're those. Like, okay, well, let's hope that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I just wrote, these fuckers are just faffing about.
That is truly what this feels like.
They're just faffing about over
here. This movie has to be a certain amount of length. Yeah.
Yeah. At least it's an overindulge in the faffing. It's just like, okay. Like
the previous one.
Yeah. Let's see. Uncle Fucker appears. They're like, hide the cake.
Should we stop talking about the movie because Daniel Mays isn't in it anymore?
I wish. No, I'll just speed through. There's not much left in my half. Don't worry.
There's not much left. You just started your half of the movie.
There's not a lot to explain in this movie.
Sorry. Yeah, continue.
Uncle Fucker comes up. They're like, hide the cake. And they're like, oh no, it's a telegram. Uncle Fucker's here with a telegram. And they're like, that can't be for us. Maybe it's good news. Oh no. Dad was killed in action.
Of course he was.
Dad's dead. Fuck.
Of course he was.
Oh
fuck.
My God, I'm so sad.
Fucking shit. Dad's dead.
I didn't know who the dad was, so I wrote, I hope it's not Mr. Mays.
Dude, that would be amazing.
No.
No, it's
we
not.
We love you, Mr. Mays, but you're no immigrant.
No, it's Obi-Wan Kenobi. Maggie Gyllenhaal would never marry Daniel Mays.
I know, right? let's see. The kid, the son, little Butterfield, is sitting there chilling, and this kid comes up. I don't know any of these kids are, so I just wrote, some kid comes up and goes, rotten luck. And I'm like, what a shitty
thing to say.
But it's, what's it, Cyril or whatever his name is? Cyril comes up, and I'm like, this fucking British kid. But then Asa Butterfield's like, no, he's not dead. I know he's not dead. And he's like, wait, how do you know that? He's like, well, my dad knows when things are going to happen. He could feel when, like,
what?
Something's going to rain or a cow is going to give birth or something like that.
My God, it's just like Mr. Nobody.
It's just like Mr. Nobody. Oh, and he's God. Like, but I know in my bones that my dad's not dead. And he's like, oh, okay. But, like, what are we going to do
about
it? Because your mom's going to sell the farm because your dad's dead. So she doesn't have anyone to help it with.
Right.
So she's going to sell it and move somewhere else. And we all love the farm.
Right.
And he's like, And then the blonde kid, Cyril's like, wait, I have an idea. My dad, he works in the war office. He can find out quickly if he's actually dead or not by, like, actually doing a real check.
It seems like a weird thing that, like, they would tell, like, a spouse that they're dead, like, just, like, on the off, like, you know, like, on a hunch.
It would be weird. It would be very weird.
Can I say one other thing really quick?
Yeah.
This movie is about selling property.
Mm-hmm.
To someone who wants it greedily.
Yeah.
So is Thursday Murder Club.
That's true. Yeah. A lot of property stuff going on here.
Yeah. British Daniel Mays is British just attracted really to certain kinds of things.
He is. Yeah. British people also love talking about property.
That is a big thing. That's true.
All about stealing it too.
The Tower of London.
So, like, who could help us? Because we can't get out to the war office. It's all the way back in, like, London or whatever.
Sure.
And it's like, oh, we know, Nanny McPhee will help us. So Nanny McPhee, they get on Nanny McPhee. She has a motorcycle. They get in the sidecar. They drive over there. They go to London. They keep saying, Dad's not dead. Don't tell Mom. They said to the girls, and the girls read it. And
what
like,
does Isabel think is going on right now?
Oh, she's just like, they're gone. Who cares? She's a bad mom. We already established this.
It's just true, yeah.
There's weird floating things in London, including pigs. I don't know why. I thought it was, I guess maybe it's wartime, so maybe they have like...
Floating pigs?
Like Zeppelins out for scouting. I don't know.
Pigs?
Yeah, there were pigs. Dude, fucking, I don't know. I'm just driving around the sea.
Like
sky pigs.
Like actual pigs?
Yes. They're just floating.
No, like Zeppelin pigs or like live
I'm
pigs?
I'm pretty sure they're live. Maybe they're like clouds of pigs. I don't remember. It was stupid.
It could have been the pigs from earlier.
It might have been pigs from earlier. So okay. I'm thinking. So then if he's driving around, she blows a kiss to Lord Nelson's statue and that statue comes alive and tips his hat to
her. Oh, that's so cute.
I know. There's also a lion. It also roars a lion statue.
Oh, is it the lion from The End of Cats?
I think it is, right?
I think it is, yeah.
Nanny McPhee then gets stopped by a bunch of horses and then they're like, fuck, I hate traffic in London. And then they're like, turn this little knob, guys. And they do. And she flies over the horses.
That's so crazy.
And she's like, this traffic's crazy. And I'm like, you just flew over them. The horses were just stopped there. You just drove around them. Yeah. There was no traffic in front of them. Anyway.
She just wanted to be extra.
Yeah. Two random people just attack Uncle Fucker. It's Miss Topsy and Miss Turvy.
That's right.
And they're like, you got to get this deed in the farm. And she's like, don't worry. They bought the telegram idea. So she's gonna sell.
Oh, so dude, what a shitty thing to do.
He's Uncle Fucker for a reason.
He is an Uncle Fucker.
They're like, cool.
What a bad guy.
Enough. These two crazy people are there. I'm like, cool. I love him. We're gonna take your kidneys if you don't.
That's right.
Like, okay.
That's right.
I don't want that. So they arrive and they're gonna go see Lord Grey.
They're really given like the step moms or whatever from the James and the Darian Peach. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they are. Goofy little characters.
Yeah. Goofy little characters.
Sorry, but then they try to go to the War Office with a guard in front, like just standing out in the open. Mm. And I'm like, just go around them. But anyway, they say, get lost, kid. And he's like, no, I need to see my...
Ethan, it's, I love this, right? It's like in Britain, all it takes is for something to be in front of you. And then like, ah, oh, we're fucking fucked.
That's pretty much what it feels
Whereas
like.
Whereas you're just like, just go around just it. Go it's around. A horse. It's a fucking like guard.
Just go around it. There's go not around like, it. It's not like a gate or anything. Just walk around them. But they're like, you got to get out of here. But then they're like, I see my dad. It's like, oh yeah, prove it. But then Nanny McPhee's there with a helmet on, and the sergeant salutes her and says, wow, nice to see you. It's like, good to see you. It's been a while since I've seen you. And she's like, have you been doing good, sir, in the army? He's like, yes, yes, ma'am. And then she's like, and you've been eating all your greens. He says, actually, I have trouble with broccoli. And then she says, try it with a bit of cheese. And also asparagus is good in the springtime. It's a good substitute. And he's like, thank you, ma'am. Wow. Anyway, you can go through now.
It all worked out.
All connections.
Nanny knows Nanny's got those fucking connections,
it's
man.
Those connections, dude. Yeah. Also, like, isn't it hard to recognize her when her face constantly changes?
You'd think that. Well, I mean, you know what? You'd think that.
I feel like most people would recognize. It'd be hard to recognize people if you suddenly turned into like Emma Thompson with no big nose.
No
or anything.
Big noses. That's true. And
like a
but
big mole.
Seemingly, this guy knew her from the beginning to the end, right? Yeah. Like that's what we're.
Well, he must have seen her when he was also a bad kid, right?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So he probably does recognize every stage of her.
It's true. So anyway,
the lore.
Mom's about ready to sign away the farm to Uncle Fucker, but. There's a bunch of shenanigans and they're taking their time and the girls are there and they're like, we gotta stop it. Like they literally are like, there's a mouse under here. And they're like, okay.
God, this is a lot of faffing about.
It's a lot of faffing about because now we have to get this whole time to do this. So they go and the boys are there. They see the dad in the War Office. Guess who plays the dad? Guess.
I don't know.
It's kind of relevant now.
Kind of relevant now?
Kind of relevant.
Jeffrey Epstein.
That guy's not even British.
Oh, right. They're British. Kind of relevant now. I don't know. I'm assuming somebody like in Harry Potter.
I don't remember if he was in it.
Ralph Fiennes.
You got it.
Really?
Yes, that's who it was. It's dead. Ralph Fiennes.
I was just like, I guess he was in Conclave and he was Snape.
In the Bone Temple.
The Bone Temple. That's what I call the bedroom. Is that supposed to be like
Isn't that the 28 days later?
Yeah, but is that supposed to be like something that was like this changed the face of media, the Bone Temple?
I don't know. Isn't that in the menu? A Conclave.
Looks like Bone Temple's back in the menu, boys.
Just trying to think of relevant movies.
Yeah,
he's
irrelevant.
I feel like he's had a string of like movies that he's been kind of starring in or
That's
being
very true. That's
recently.
Very true.
Anyway, Conclave. Ralph Fiennes. He's there. He's like doesn't even know who the fuck this other kid is, but Mr. Butterfield is. Doesn't know who that kid
sure.
is. But he's like, oh, he's your nephew, that failed marriage. He's like, because he's an asshole.
Yeah, he's an asshole.
And he's like, no, no, no. Listen, stop being an asshole. And finally, Lionel, was his name? The little kid?
Sybil?
Sybil, whatever. Sybil.
Cyril? Cyril.
Cyril. Cyril's like, I'm gonna stand up to you, Dad, actually, and tell you what, you're being a real jerk right now. And we need him.
You're
to
being
know,
a right prick.
Yeah. We needed to let you know that, like, is this guy's dad alive? And he's like, you have proof, right? And he's like, no, I don't have proof. I have a feel in my bones. He's like, you came all the way here to tell me you feel in your bones. He's like, shut up, Dad. Find it. And he's like, all right, you know what? Fine. I'll go do it. I'll go see. We'll go look.
What proof would you have that he's still alive?
He doesn't have any.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. What proof could you possibly have?
Well,
that he's
they're
still
like,
alive?
Oh, maybe your unit contacted you or something out of the field. Or maybe like a friend came by or something was like, he's still alive. So you just want to like know if this telegram is fake or not.
Your dad's in the Bone Temple.
Or wrong.
Son.
Also, he's like, yeah. He's also like, well, your dad, like, we never really lie with our war telegrams. We usually check those pretty clearly.
Why?
Like it was a real one. No, sure. Like, yeah, it was a real one.
How do they know?
This fucking kid.
He's a dumb kid.
Why would he trust Uncle Fucker?
They have no reason to not trust Uncle Fucker. Exactly. Yeah. They don't even know there's a villain in this movie.
No. Let's see. So yeah. And he's like, your son, he's like, my weak-willed son was drug over here by this guy. And he's like, your son isn't weak-willed. Your son saved the piglets. I'm like, what does this mean? and he says, why should I give your father my special attention? I know your mom are getting, who says,
He's like family.
I know, but he's like, I know your mom. You and mom are getting a divorce, is what Sybil says.
Whoa!
You made our lives miserable. The least you could do is make sure Aunt Isabel and Uncle Rory could be together.
Since you're not able to analyze Daniel May's acting, how is this boy doing?
He's honestly pretty good.
Yeah,
he's honestly doing pretty good.
Is he doing Conclave level acting right now?
No, he's not. But he's doing pretty good for a kid.
All right. No, the guy.
Oh, Ralph Fiennes. I thought you said Sybil. I asked Sybil.
No, just the man, the adult in the scene.
He's fine. He's not doing Conclave.
He's not doing Conclave?
He's doing a good job, but it's not like...
He's not like...
He's doing concerning. A good job in a kid's movie.
Okay.
He brings the right amount of energy.
Did I call him Snape earlier? He's not Snape.
He's not Snape.
He's, what the fuck?
I don't know. I don't remember.
Voldemort.
He's Voldemort?
Yeah, he's Voldemort.
Well, I didn't know that.
Because he has no nose in the movie.
Yeah, I can recognize him.
He's Voldemort, I believe, yeah.
Oh, interesting. Anyway, so the girls are distracting mom by there's still a mouse under the chair. It's working for a long time. Let's see. While they're checking everything, they're like, well, where are you going to live?
Where's he going to live?
Where's Cyril?
Sybil.
Sybil going to live.
Cyril.
I never remember his name. Where's you little blonde boy? Where are you going to live? After your parents divorce
and your dumb and like, daughter,
I guess
sister.
We'll live with mom. I don't know. They're like, you can come live with us. He's like, oh, okay, cool. I'll do that. And I'm like, that's cool. What a cool thing. I didn't know they were complete assholes to each other.
They were jerks.
And then they come back. Ralph Fiennes comes back and says, your dad is unfortunately MIA. And they're like, wait, but that means he's not. They act like he's dead, but he's
right.
Like, but that means he's not dead. And he's like, yeah, that's true. He's not technically never found the body, so maybe he's still alive.
Yeah.
Like, awesome. Thank you. But anyways, like, yeah, that telegram was either sent out by mistake. We're sorry. We messed up on that.
Or it's fake.
I'm going to look into it. And they're like, all right, cool.
What a nice guy.
And he says to his son, you know what? All that country has done you good. You're no longer an asshole or a coward. See you later, son.
You aren't the asshole I raised you to be.
Yeah, exactly. And then they figure out, like, while they're getting in the car, motorcycle, Danny McPhee's motorcycle, saying, like, is it a motorcycle? I feel like it's a scooter.
I think it's like it's a motorcycle, but a sidecar, isn't it?
It's like a Vespa or something.
How does it look? I'm assuming the CG is, like, not, like, great.
It's okay.
Yeah?
I think most of the CG in this movie is mostly passable.
Oh, okay.
Who would forge a telegram? They said, oh my God, it must be Uncle Fucker trying to buy the farm. Oh my gosh. So then eventually the mouse shtick back at the farm doesn't work. And they're like, there's no mouse, guys. We need to sign this thing. But during the meantime, the girls steal the pen and they're like, fuck.
Oh, I didn't realize the girls were separate from the boys.
Yes. It's just the boys.
So the boys went to fucking London. War.
Yeah. And the girls
and
are back.
The girls stayed back. Yeah.
Trying to distract mom.
Oh, okay. All right.
So then they're running out of ideas because they stole the pen, but they found other pens.
This must be fucking
it's a lot.
Torture, dude.
It's very annoying. And then the little girls say, Nanny McPhee, we need you. And Nanny McPhee hears them all the way across and they grab the stick. And she's like, actually, boys, could you grab the stick and whack the ground real hard? And she's like, don't drop it. I can't get those back easily. They don't give them out easily.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, okay. So they bang it. And they're like, what does it do? He's like, don't worry about it. And then we see a CGI elephant appear. To the little blonde kid who's really bad at acting. And
he's
like, wow.
He's obsessed with the elephant. He slept with the elephant.
Yeah, the elephant's like, I'm going to go do some shit now, kid. And then it goes
he's going to wreck some shit.
He goes into the room where they're trying to sign the lease or documents away.
Right.
And he just steals all the pens.
Whoa. The elephant?
The elephant doesn't, he leaves. And then they can't find any pens. And they're like, what do we do?
Why'd they need the elephant to do that?
It's a great question.
Why not just have her disappear all the pens in the room?
That's a great question.
Seems like there's a less inconspicuous way to do
also this. Nanny McPhee is like a weird thing where like she only will do stuff if she's asked.
Oh, 100%.
Like
she's not gonna do it on her own
because like she's been driving this whole time and they're like, wow, we got to get back soon because mom might have sold the thing already. Can this thing go any faster? And she goes, oh yeah. And then she presses a button that's like turbo mode and she just like zooms across Fast and Furious style. Like
I feel like she could probably just like press a button, she's just fucking there, right?
Probably,
like,
but yeah. She can't take the kids with her.
No, that's true.
Anyway, the uncle actually...
Her insides would be on the outside.
Yeah. Fucker finds a pen. It's actually on one of the kids. And she's like, fuck, my personal pen. Because one of the kids the has like a belt around her. She has a tool belt. She's a handy one.
Yeah. Magsy?
Whatever. I don't know. Find these kids' names. They never mentioned them.
They don't matter, I guess. Yeah.
They don't really matter.
Yeah.
Poor girl. I wrote Isabel's an idiot because she just keeps walking around being like, where's a pen? I guess I'll sign it. She keeps reading it slowly, and I'm like, oh my God.
They really gave Maggie Gyllenhaal like nothing to work with.
I think they did.
Oh, you think so? She just didn't do anything with it?
I just don't think she's a very good comedic actor.
That's true. I was wondering, like, why get Maggie Gyllenhaal for this? Like, she's obviously not a British actor.
Kind of a big name, I guess, at the time.
Oh, yeah. Everyone's lining up for Maggie Gyllenhaal. Christopher Nolan's second choice for the Dark Knight series.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, man.
Everyone's like, I saw her in Secretary.
So they can't think of anything to stop this now because now they finally have a pen.
Yeah.
But then suddenly an enemy plane labeled enemy plane is flying overhead. And this pilot has a cold and he starts sneezing.
Oh God, I hate this shit.
He sneezes and it hits his nose on the big red button that everyone has on the top of their bomber plane.
As everyone does. They don't have any protection from that
button. No, of course not.
No.
There's never anything like that. But it drops down on the ground and it lands in the farm and everyone gets distracted by it, but it doesn't explode.
What? Oh, it just lands? It's a dud?
They call it a UXB, an unexploded bomb. Mm. And they're like, oh my God, that's crazy. And how are we still alive? But then suddenly Acid Butterfield arrives. It comes in and says, "Dad's alive."
Yeah.
And they're like, "Oh my!" And then they're like, "Uncle Fucker forged a telegram." And he's like, "Oh my God, I feel so guilty. Please arrest me, mostly because I want to be protected from these women." So he tries to like get himself tied up and like put in handcuffs and tied to like the old man.
He's into some shit.
Yeah, but the old man's like, "No, dude, I'm not like a real like
cop
authority figure."
Yeah.
But whatever. Here and then, Maggie Gyllenhaal locks him to like just part of the house. He's like, oh, but I'm gonna be alone. Uh-oh, that's bad. So anyway, they gotta figure out what this bomb, the bomb situation. Like, Maggie Gyllenhaal's very happy her husband might potentially be alive still.
But also there's a bomb.
There's a bomb. So, also, it's very funny because they all hate Uncle Fucker, but he never explains he's literally being blackmailed through this whole thing.
He's not being blackmailed necessarily. He does owe money.
Okay, so maybe it's not as bad.
He is doing it, like, on his, like, he's doing, I mean, I guess he, like, put up the farm as collateral for his,
yeah,
like,
sucks.
Yeah, he sucks. Like, he's not a good guy. Yeah. He's not being forced to do this necessarily.
Okay, I didn't know the whole context.
It's right. Okay, man. It's okay. I should have explained
better.
I
guess better. You know what? That is something I learned from your half. I thought he was just not explaining himself, but
No.
He
he's a bad guy. Yeah.
So, the bomb man is going to go, or the Maggie Smith's husband is going to go and try to disarm the bomb. He gets up there, but he looks in it and then faints and falls over because that's too easy. So now the kids have to disarm it. The girl with the belt goes up and she's like, all right, luckily there's a big book we read. So they read the book and they're like, all right, cut the blue wire. And she's like, I can't cut it. But then the old bomb girl, Celia, the city girl, is like, use these scissors and the little cuticle scissors for your nails because she's a fancy little lady.
That's right.
And so she uses these little tiny ones
to
cut.
Her experience comes in handy.
So that, yeah, so they cut. They're able to cut the blue wire. They're good. So then the evil lady's fine. Uncle Fucker, and they're gonna kill him, and they're like, actually, we don't want to take your kidneys anymore, we want to stuff you like taxidermy style.
Whoa.
But we have to do it while you're alive.
Jesus.
He's like, what? Okay. And he's very scared.
Yeah. Understandable.
So they eventually disarm the bomb and everything's all great, but then it starts doing something weird because they forgot, because certain enemy bombs in the book, it says certain enemy bombs have a green wire that you have to cut, but they only cut a blue and a red wire.
But we know it's not an enemy bomb.
It says enemy. It said enemy plane when they flew over.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Enemy plane. It's very obvious. It says on the thing.
That's right.
It says on the tin.
That's fair.
You aren't going to put a swastika in this movie. They're just going to put enemy plane.
Yeah.
So they're like, oh, shit, we got to cut the green wire, but she can't see it. There's a bunch of, like, explosive putty covering part of the bomb, and the bird hears putty and goes putty and then flies over and starts pecking crazily at the putty.
This doesn't feel cool.
No, this is lame.
So no, I'm just like, it's weird to be like, this happened within the lifetime of these people, right? Like, they lived through the Blitz more than likely.
Yeah.
You know? And like, this was World War II. I don't like a bird being able to like stop a bomb from exploding in the middle
of the
country.
Have a little whimsy, Mike. Have a little whimsy. That'd a little British,
like,
whimsy.
That'd be like if...
Well, the bird didn't stop it. It just helped get the putty away.
But that'd be like if in like Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, like Nazis showed up.
And then Oompa Loompas like beat him up.
Yeah. The, the Nazis showed up and then Oompa Loompas was like, fucking asses. They just start rocking their shit.
Sounds kind of awesome, actually.
Honestly, sounds pretty great. I would rather see that.
It's Hugh Grant doing it.
I'm an Oompa Loompa. Sorry, continue. So the bird eats the putty.
Yeah,
so explosive putty.
Yeah, the explosive putty. And it reveals the green wire, and they cut it. And yay, it's fine. Unfortunately, the bird is full of explosive putty now, and he starts expanding. Oh, and God. He's like, he looks like he's going to explode.
And then he burps, or he farts, doesn't he? Does he burp or fart, Ethan? Does he burp or fart, Ethan? Does the bird burp or fart? Ethan, does it burp?
Well, first.
Yeah.
Then if he says, step away, everyone. And I'm like, us bird's going to die.
He's going to kill her. You didn't know it was going to happen. What does the bird
and
do?
And then she
Ethan?
Taps her cane, and the bird burps real loud and flies back. In fact, it flies everyone back. It flies all the barley. Because you know what they were most... I didn't mention this. The reason they were concerned mostly about the bomb...
is because they're surrounded by, like, flammable stuff?
No, it was just going to burn their harvest. They wouldn't make any money off their barley.
That's why they were concerned. Not for their lives. But I guess
it was pretty far away, so they probably went okay.
They're also probably concerned for their lives in the long run, I suppose.
Yeah. So then... the wind tornado goes, and all the evil people that are going to kill Uncle Fucker get blown away in the most cartoony way. They go Team Rocket style, like out into the sun, basically. It's very funny. Literally just spins in a circle a lot of times, flies off.
Jesus Christ. Does it look good?
It looks pretty good. It looks all right. Okay. I mean, it's funny.
Ethan is enjoying this.
I enjoyed this part.
Yeah.
It's very stupid.
You like the bird burping?
Well, it's even dumber because the bird's like flying around now. Like burping, and the barley is being harvested at the same time. It's being blown away, and then all of that, it gets into like a circle, like almost like a vortex, and the bomb gets sucked up in the vortex and then disappears. I'm like, why didn't you fucking do that in the first place?
What?
And then the barley turns into like a drone show and like makes shapes in the sky of like an elephant and a whale, and then it explodes, and it's raining sparkles down everywhere, and Maggie Smith's like trying to catch it in her little like handbag. And then we look down, and all the barley is in hay bales, and it's all ready to go. And they say the harvest has come. And the kids are excited because one of the hay bales has a slide on it, so they go play on the slide. Maggie Gyllenhaal plays on the slide because she basically has the mind of a child anyway. And then in the movie, I'm not saying as a person, in the movie,
her character, she's dead.
Maggie Gyllenhaal's dead?
Oh, I thought you were talking about Maggie Smith.
No, not Maggie Smith. It's like Maggie Gyllenhaal died. That's horrible.
No, she just directed The Bride.
Oh, yeah. She did. Yeah, I was like, I felt like she was around.
She's around, yeah.
Anyway, they talk to Maggie Smith. They say, thank you for letting Nanny McPhee stay, is what.
Maggie Smith?
Yes, Maggie Smith talks to Maggie Gyllenhaal.
And says, thank you for letting Nanny McPhee stay.
Opposite. Maggie Gyllenhaal says to Maggie Smith, thank you for bringing her over here. And she says, thank you.
How did Maggie Smith bring her?
I don't know. I guess she told her that she needed help. So Maggie Smith's like, she's just as good as when I was a kid.
Oh,
and then
my
she has like
God.
Whole
so
thing.
That's how old she is. She's a fucking eldritch demon.
Maybe as a demon.
Yeah.
And they're like, awesome. Oh, wow. We all got medals from Nanny McPhee. And they look, they all got like different medals. She's like, oh, I got the green one. And they're all excited. They're like, wonder why we got these medals. Let's go ask her. But Nanny McPhee's fucking out of here. She's peacing out.
Because they want her to be there.
Yes. And they say, don't you remember when you need her, you don't want her. But she going to be there.
When you need her, but you don't want her.
When you need her, but you don't want her, you're going to be there. Yeah. But when you want her, but you don't need her, she gone.
She gone. She out there.
She gone. She out of there. And here you go. So they're like, oh, fuck. But Maggie Gyllenhaal needs her to stay. Like, almost like desperation. She runs after her. Like, wait. She's like, fuck these kids. All the kids also run. But she's like, sure. Where is she? Where is she?
Come running. Back here. I can't do this on my own.
She runs. She turns.
Oh, God, her husband's going to be, like, right there, isn't
she
he?
She turns, and all the kids are like, we need you, Nanny McPhee. And she's like, I don't need Nanny McPhee anymore, because Daddy McGregor's coming home.
Daddy McGregor's
here. And not since Little Women have I been so surprised to see Daddy.
Because you haven't seen him in
I didn't know he was there.
Yeah.
And then they said, lesson 5 has been complete. And Emma Thompson... like, looks like herself. I'm like, damn, Nanny McPhee, all right.
Batty McPhee.
Batty McPhee. But, you know, if I want her, can't have her. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
That's right. So anyway, there's a fun ending. That's the end of the movie. There's a fun...
Ewan McGregor shows up and is like, I'm here.
Lesson five was to have faith. Lesson five was to have faith.
Oh,
it was what? Complete.
Oh, and like, your dad being alive?
Yeah, I guess.
Whatever. This movie's terrible.
The goofy end. The ending's cute. They do the whole movie again, and I didn't watch all of it because I knew it would be spoilers. No, I knew it would be spoilers. Because the whole movie, they do it in like paper, little paper sure. guys running around. It's sure. cute.
Did you see Daniel Mays as a paper man near the movie?
He just looked like a paper man. I saw a driver guy.
That's him. That's him. Mr. Daniel That's Mays. Do you have anything to say about his performance as a paper man?
Kind of flat.
That's what I'm talking about.
Kind of flat.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, it was not a good movie, but I was whatever.
Yeah.
It wasn't offensive. It was just like, what are we doing here? A lot of faffing about.
A lot of faffing. I would probably give this one we're not even rating
Daniel Mays wasn't even in my half. I can't even give him a good rating.
I would give him such a high rating for this. I thought he was fantastic. I thought he did such a good, because all right, I'm not, we're gonna finish the podcast because it's gone for a while, but really quick, when you are playing a king in a movie or a play or whatever, mm-hmm. how do you come across as powerful?
You got good posture. You have a good speaking cadence.
These are all things that help, but it's nothing that you do. It's what everyone else does. Everyone else has to act like you're the king. And then the audience will believe that you're the king. Okay. And what I'm saying about this is that Daniel Mays is doing an incredible performance, trying to make us feel like these children are powerful and merciless, right? Because what he's doing,
like,
is he's not looking at their eyes. He's, and when he does, he's only there to like try to make them feel better. He can barely talk to them. He is doing a very good job as an actor of trying to make these two little brats, like, it feels like it'll be like, if he crosses them or looks at them wrong, it'll be off with his head. And I kind of dig that. I think he's doing a good job.
I like that. But I've seen Emperor's New Clothes, so.
You've seen Emperor's New Clothes?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's made by Disney.
Has Emperor's New Groove?
Emperor's New Clothes. Well, that's the llama version. I'm talking about Emperor's New Clothes.
Is that a real thing?
I mean, isn't the Emperor's New Clothes the whole story with he doesn't have clothes? Then the Emperor's naked, but everyone has to like pretend he's got clothes on?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that a thing?
I mean, it's not a movie.
You've seen Disney's Emperor's New Clothes?
I don't think they could do that. They could never adapt that.
They could never.
Naked.
It would be like
sure it's a book.
Where
he's always like his like leg anecdote. Is always covering his peenor, you know.
I would say it'd be like a Austin
anyway,
Powers movie.
What I'm saying is that, like, yes, that works to an extent unless the actor's really bad. But honestly, his kids are fine.
The kids are great, except for little Vincent, who's the worst actor.
Well, little Vincent's barely in the movie. He you can't even see him through his mop of a haircut. So
I felt a little bad for like the prissy like girl. I feel like they don't give her anything to do. She's just like, oh
she's pretty good in my half. She does stuff. So
in my half, I feel like I'm like, this,
she read the instructions to how to disarm the bomb.
That is very nice. In my half of the movie, she's just like, I like clothes, I like shoes. I'm like, you're not doing anything here. Like, give her something. Give her anything.
She got some stuff to do. So
she got some stuff to do. Yeah. Okay. Well, guys, what do you think about Nanny McPhee Returns or Nanny McPhee and the Big Bang?
Yep, the Big Bang, which didn't happen because they prevented it.
They prevented it. Email us. Email at theotherhalfpodcast.com. Find us on Facebook, Instagram. We're also in Discord, and we have a Blue Sky. And if you want to listen to our previous Daniel Mays series, you can find it on any new podcatching app. And while you're there, please leave a 5-star rating and review. We will read in the show no matter what it says. We want those reviews even if we don't need them. Mm-hmm. And then we need them even if we don't want them.
Mm-hmm. We want them.
How many? We only have one more Daniel Mays movie.
So we're not going to get them. Anyway, what?
We only have one more Daniel Mays
movie.
Yeah. I'm excited to see what happens. I'm hoping that... What do you think he's going to do in this next movie? Is he going to be playing another role job?
I think he's going to be a pushover. I think that's his thing. Mm. He's always kind of a pushover in all these. He's always getting bullied by someone.
Do you think he'll
going to be someone in a true authority.
But he'll be like he'll be playing a role like in these last three weeks, just like a job.
Yeah, think so. I think he's going to be that, where he could be young journalist.
I think he's going to be like shitty friend. I think he's going to be like a guy in this one.
He's going to break out a little bit.
I think he's going to be given an opportunity. But I don't know. Maybe. Or he's either going to be that, or he's going to be hapless, like man who is bad at his job, but he needs to be taken seriously. That's my other.
I think that's a good.
Which is what he's been doing the last three movies. Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah.
He's a character actor.
He's a character actor, he's really going for it. But yeah. I'm sad that he didn't see him in this movie.
You
wasted
know,
opportunity. We knew one of these was going to happen.
Yeah, I didn't know it'd be me. Sucks.
Didn't know it'd be you. Well, maybe next one it'll be me.
Well, maybe I'll want it too bad and he won't be there.
That's true. Good night, everybody. Would you guys like to discuss the movies that we talked about on the podcast, recommend movies for future episodes, or maybe even watch movies with us? Check out the Discord.
You can find the Discord on the latest episodes or on the website, theotherhalfpodcast.com. We're just hanging out chatting.
And while you're there, maybe also check out the second of the Discord, which is specifically for Ethan's streams on Twitch. You get updates as to when he goes live. Just keep up to date with us, with Ethan, the podcast, and the stream.
It's also totally okay if you just want to hang out and talk about the podcast. You could hang out there and maybe we'll see you there and watch a movie or something.
Or maybe you're like, wow, these streams are so much better and you just totally ignore the podcast. That's also another option.
That could happen.
Why not?
The Discord is your oyster. Come join us.
The Discord is your oyster. Join it.